Now I remember, I think you talked in Parliament here, the National Assembly here, that slowly and gradually I have gained from the follies of India. Remember, some mistakes they have made and I have achieved.
Not in the National Assembly.
No, somewhere.
To a journalist, a foreign journalist.
I see.
I didn't say this in the National Assembly. A foreign journalist said to me, how is it that Pakistan has been able to get back its territory and this, that and the other? And I gave him some general reply.
I see.
But he said to me, have you not also gained by the mistakes that India has made by holding on to your prisoners of war for a long period of time? I said, if India has made mistakes, I have not made India make those mistakes. If India has made mistakes and we have gained by it, how am I to be blamed?
Well, anyway, there it was said that you have gained from.
He said to me, the question was, I gave a general reply. Well, you know, we have been patient.
Yes.
He said, no, but have you not gained from India's mistakes? So I said, well, if India had made mistakes and we have gained, why should we be blamed for that? Again, it was the way it was
put. Very, very. But sir, maybe it's a hypothetical question, but I would, if you would like to answer that. Looking back now, I'm talking about now, after all, it's 2 years. This in Simla, suppose they have only returned POWs and not territory. What would have happened? You would not have agreed to the solution.
Now, again, what will happen is, you will say that Mr. Bhutto was bragging. This is exactly what happened about that foreign correspondent. Mm. He was an American correspondent who said that have you not also gained because of India's mistakes? Now, then, innocent answer to that, if they make a mistake, then how am I to be blamed? Mm. Now, on this, if you ask me, and I tell you that for us, or in my mind, the return of territory was much more important than the return of prisoners of war, because you cannot keep prisoners of war indefinitely.
Mm. Yes, that was obvious. I mean, as you said here also, how long can you keep it? Can you keep it for a year?
It was more important to us. I wouldn't say that we would have come back and not come to any settlement, but to us, the return of territory was certainly more important at that time. It was our main problem at that time, and we knew that sooner or later, it's a matter of a year or 2 years, we will be able to get our prisoners of war back. But you see, I think the miscalculation that was made in the Indian mind was that this problem is going to really overwhelm us, and the families of the prisoners of war are going to make life miserable for us, and it will be we'll be under great pressure, and therefore it's better to keep them there. I told you, I think, that this is not going to be a problem for us. We'll be able to carry our people on.
Well, you did say, look, if it's a question of men, there's so many men.
Yes.
After there's no dearth of men on both sides.
Yes.
That takes me to this, the preparations of war. I see that you have been visiting Gulf areas and very successfully. Now, I interpreted, maybe there's a lot of money lying untapped there. These people are very rich, and maybe Pakistan has know-how, expertise, you can afford. I mean, if there could be joint ventures, etc., you would very much want to disinvest money. That's one thing. Second, the area of these, Saudi Arabia, Gulf area, or Iran, that means you are not looking so much southward as you that side. Towards the Arab countries or Islamic unity or Muslim countries. Now, am I correct in my assessment?
In the first place, if you draw a wall between India and Pakistan,
where do you go?
And you don't exchange the diplomats, you don't do that much, so that there is no interflow on this side. Secondly, we have never denied our very close affinities to the Muslim world. The creation of Pakistan was also on the basis that this will be a Muslim state. And our affinities to the Muslim world, to the Arabs or to the Iranians or the Turks, were not predicated on the basis that we wanted to have good relations with them because we wanted to be anti-India. That is a natural relationship which is rooted in Islam, in geography, in history, and not in conflict with good relations between India and Pakistan. For a long time, you felt that our relations with Iran are growing in some wicked way, and that God alone knows.
You were still with him.
No, but now Khalan Bari has been to Delhi, and judging from the statements that Swaran Singh and Khalan Bari have made, I'm sure after having had had detailed discussions with Mrs. Gandhi and with Swaran Singh and the statements of the two leaders, if there was any room for doubt, the statements would not be so warm and enthusiastic. And have we misunderstood it? We have not. We are happy that the Iranian foreign minister could go to India and at least make an effort. I'm sure he must have made that effort, that please do not read anything dangerous in the relations between Iran and Pakistan.
I see. I have been hearing here again that you might like to set up some armament factories, ordnance factories.
France. We have it. We have a very
That is.
No, but we have the other POF factory also, which is a very modern one, one of the best in terms of its infrastructure and everything. In India, you can build anything there. But the question is that you have so many more ordnance factories, and now Brezhnev has come to India, and he is again assured you of full collaboration, full cooperation. He has told you that we have stood by you in the past. For whatever you have done, we will stand by you in the future. For whatever you might want to do in the future, now have we gone wild about that? I mean, has there been any note from the Foreign Office on the extent of economic military collaboration between India and the Soviet Union? Today's papers carry the news, or yesterday's, that peace indigo is going to be built with the help and assistance of the United States.
Yes.
So, I mean, the point is this, that, all right, we will accept the position as it is, and we don't assume that each and everything that happens is a step in the direction of war.
No, but sir, what I'm thinking, the last time you were saying, look here, you are sick of this armaments, army, and that kind of thing, and our people are so hungry and poor, and why should we be wasting our money on this kind of thing? Why don't we divert them to certain things worthwhile? And you also said that this has also other repercussions, that these then army people get some kind of ideas and that kind of thing. So why don't we just get a break from this thing?
But there cannot be any unilateral reduction of forces.
So this is because you think that...
And secondly, that when we met, the Afghan problem had not been reactivated. We cannot expect any government to take unilateral steps to reduce forces when our forces are already much lower. You see the disparity between India's forces and Pakistan's forces. As a matter of fact, the disparity is so great that many objective analysts will tell you that war is out of the question. With this great disparity, with the Soviet Union giving you massive military assistance, with your own indigenous production, and with now United States building this peace indigo, what an ironical expression, and with the Afghan threat reactivated, we cannot take our defense requirements lightly.
Surely you don't suspect us for this Afghan.
Did I say that?
You said in the same breath.
No, but there is this problem. For you talked about the Chinese threat, which is non-existent. Well, this is not a non-existent problem. I don't like it. We have not tried to aggravate it, but it is there. You cannot deny it.
How serious is it? I didn't think so. They are only broadcasting something, but nothing beyond.
Well, but you see, the first statement of President Dao and some of his past activities, and also what he has been telling the people and the young lot with him, we cannot take these things lightly. No country can take these. Especially a country that has been to war 3 times, that has been dismembered. How can we take these things?
But does this also mean, you see, this you're looking towards, though you last time you told me, you said, okay, why should you worry? Because we can't run away from history. And history and other things will force us to look towards this side and that side. Or is it because now that portion which was called East Pakistan is not there, so your interest in that area has lessened?
No, we would like to reactivate our interest in that area. This whole concept of reconciliation is aimed at restoring our good relations with them. And if we have good relations with them, certainly there are other countries in Southeast Asia which we'll have to have good relations with them. But I have never said that our relations will be to the exclusion of our relations with other countries.
And
we will, if we can have better relations, more relations with our neighbors, the better it is.
But does it mean when you're looking that side, I'm not saying excluding our side, that I find here this time lot of support for Jamaat Islamiya, as if it's some kind of revivalism, that kind. I don't know, at least among students, etc. Could this be that you are being forced by these circumstances, though you are not a person who is forced by it?
No, I, as far as my own affinities with the Muslim world are concerned, they have always been there, but they have been there in a refreshing modern sense.
And not in a block sense.
Jamaat-e-Islami has been in a hypocritical sense. And the Jamaat-e-Islami will always win student body elections, but they will always lose general elections. And I wish them all the luck to win student body elections. And I know that they will not win the general elections. We are a Muslim people, and we will always stand by our faith and our beliefs. But you'll never find a Maulana becoming the executive of this country. You'll get pundits who will become chief executives in India. But a Maulana will not become a chief, a genuine Maulana. I mean, there might be a man who can wear a beard, but that kind of a thing.
But that pundit was also not the genuine kind of beard. Because I have quoted him here, where he very affectionately mentions you.
Who?
Nehru.
Nehru? Hmm. I haven't, as I said, read the book, but I'll see.
Yes, he very much, somewhere I got some quote, and he very much, used to call you Zulfi.
Hmm.
Did he?
Yes.
Because, from there it seemed he was, as if a very affectionately.
He was an outstanding man.
Yes, you have always praised him whenever you are outstanding.
And I have always had high word for Krishna Menon.
Yes. He would be very happy if I tell him, because he's sick.
But
man.
He knows it. He knows it. Your case in the United Nations was a hopeless case. And he did a masterful job of making it into an effective case from a really rotten case. Of course, he had one advantage, that he had poor Feroz Khanoon on the other side. But with all that, uh-huh. In very difficult times.
Uh-huh. So, coming back to this Brezhnev's visit you mentioned. Now, I believe this Asian security doctrine has never been spelled out, but I'm told that Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Iran, these are the countries supposed to be there. Have they made any approach to you as far as this?
There have been general discussions. Uh-huh. There have been general discussions. It has not been put in the form of a concrete proposal to us. And our attitude to the Asian Collective Security Pact will be spelled out by me in the National Assembly debate.
Well, that's a long way to go. But anyway, you are not enamored of it.
We think that it has certain inherent difficulties, and we are not enamored by it, not because it is sponsored by the Soviet Union. But we feel that there are certain inherent factors which have to be taken into account.
Do you think that you must have seen the joint statement between Mr. Gandhi and Mr. Brezhnev? Do you think we conceded anything, or do you read anything between the lines?
There are two interpretations and two stories being circulated. One is that India did not agree to subscribe to the Asian Collective Security Pact, and said that it would impinge a non-aligned character. The other one is that India has tacitly agreed to the Asian Collective Security Pact and have asked the Soviet Union for some time to be able to lobby for it in other countries like Indonesia and Japan, and create a greater climate for it in India itself,
and after she and China have restored their relations, she will subscribe to it.